Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Welcome back to the Femi Pod, episode 137. I'm so happy to be here because I have my bestie Esty back on the pod with me. Yay, Est, you're here with me.
Yay, I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be back. I missed the podcasts. You've done an amazing job and had some pretty cool guests come on. Our amazing run leader Grace and then the incredibly talented Lisa. So cool to have those people on. But yeah, I've missed it and I've missed you and I'm happy to be back. With the Femi crew back online. How are you? Yeah. How are you feeling after the marathon? You did so well at facing something so challenging. Like, how are you feeling?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd give you a bit of an update on the race, and then we've got way more important stuff to discuss. But I raced the Sydney Marathon in the weekend. If you haven't been listening to our past episodes, it was my first marathon in a long time, and I had a pretty solid build up to the race. So the training went really well, but come race day, I don't know really what exactly happened, but I definitely had a few apprehensions going into the race. Probably about 5 days out from the race, I started to get like this niggly pain in my hip and in my hamstring. And I've had a hamstring tendinopathy for probably, like I'm not kidding, maybe 10 years, which I've been able to like manage and deal with quite well. And been able to get all the training done without it like flaring up. And then when I started to taper, of course, I started to get like pain through my hamstring and like a real kind of sharp pain in my hip. And I was like, maybe it's just my mind playing tricks on me. And you know what it's like when you're tapering, you kind of start questioning if you've done enough training and if things are hurting, you're like, oh my God, am I going to be able to do this? So your mind definitely does kind of come into play, but I was trying to push all of those thoughts aside and just focus on like, you're fine, you've done the work, you're ready to race. And I went and got massage and kind of did everything I possibly could do to try and ease the pain. But on race day, within about, honestly, from the start of the race, even when I was warming up, I could feel it. And I was like, no, it's fine, I'm going to be fine. And then the first kind of K or even more than Sydney Marathon is downhill. And I like immediately felt pain in my hammy and in my knee going down the hill and tried to block it out. And then it just kind of got worse. And not only that, by about 15K, I just kind of felt like empty. I didn't feel like I had the kind of energy, and I had set like a goal, but I wouldn't say it was a crazy ambitious goal. Like I feel like for me, I was aiming for anywhere between 2:40 and 2:45, as in finishing time, not pace. And I really felt quite confident based on all the training that I'd done that I could do that. And I went through the 21 in 82 minutes. So I was like, cool, like I feel like I'm on pace, but I did not feel good. And so I was like, let's just like stick with it for as long as I can and see if that kind of passes, because in the marathon, you do go through waves of like feeling like crap and then feeling really good. There was a period of time, I think between maybe like 7 to 10K, where I was like, well, this feels easy. Like this feels really good. But yeah, those waves come and go. And then I got to 28K and honestly from like 25, I was like battling and my pace did start to slow down. And then I was like, what, I don't have it, what is the point of it? Like I know these thoughts shouldn't, I don't think these thoughts are good, and I'm learning, I need to learn to control them. But I was also just like, what's the point? And I think a lot of that's kind of stemmed from the year that I've had and just everything else going on in my life at the moment. I just kind of was like, God, especially with what we're going to touch on soon with US, I was just like, why, like who cares about running? And I don't know, like I also had such an incredible weekend with the community and being out there with everybody else that I was just like, who cares about my race? I'm just going to like stop and just try and enjoy the moment. Like we're literally making history. It's the first major in Sydney. It's the first major in Australia. Just to be part of that was, iconic, and yeah, I was pretty like disappointed by the outcome of my race, but I was just grateful to be there with everybody else. So yeah, I think I've got a lot to learn still, even this deep into my running career. Like, I still have so much to learn about running, and that's the beautiful thing. Like, as you learn about your own running, you learn about yourself. And I feel like I'm just like constantly learning about myself and where I'm at and what lights me up, and yeah, my own like soul connection in a really woo-woo way. So anyway, that was the Sydney Marathon. I feel like we could spend so much longer talking about it, but I also just don't think it's like that important considering what we're about to chat to. So yeah, we missed you though. Yes, the community missed you over here in Sydney.
Oh, I miss it so much. And yeah, seeing the images and videos and stuff looked so good, and like the community looked so hyped. So I can imagine like the support would have been unreal. But yeah, I feel for you, Liz, because yeah, you have this huge community, and so you do kind of, I guess, have to show up in a certain way or feel like you have to, even when you didn't hit what you wanted to achieve. So I know that that would be really hard. And yeah, running is hard. Like, so many times you don't reach your goal. And like, yeah, it's just learning to deal with that. But I'm real proud of you. And like, you'll get through this time, and you'll find what lights you up again in terms of running. And I guess for now, just taking that pressure off and like enjoying it will be so good for you. But yeah, I'm real proud of you. And I loved seeing everyone there. Like, it was, yeah, made me really want to do a marathon.
Look, when I was out there doing it, I was like, never again. But I think we all have those thoughts. But yeah, it was really like quite the humbling experience. I stopped at 28Ks, and then I ran another 17Ks with some of the Femi community, the King's Cross community. And then I jumped in with my husband James and ran with him. Shout out to James. He ran his first marathon, which was epic. But I at 45K, I was like to James, I'm done. Like, I don't think I can do the rest because I'm so sore. And we were still about 8Ks from the finish line. And yeah, that's kind of confusing. But I like doubled back after I pulled out. I went and ran like parts of the course I'd already run just to like be with my friends. And then I finished when I pulled out at 8Ks to go. I was still at Centennial Park. And so for those who don't know Sydney, that's still quite a long way from the city. And so when I stopped at 45Ks, my beautiful friend from Nike, Anna, was there, who gave me a Zupa Dupa. And then I just like humbly walked back from Sydney Park to the city in my Alpha Flies with my bib number still on. And I just like never would have predicted that that was going to be my race day. But that it would have been probably like a 5K walk or something after running 45Ks. And in some ways, it was quite cathartic. Like, I got to just spend some time in my own head and just be like, it's okay. You know, it is only running at the end of the day. But yeah, it was kind of funny. I was also laughing at myself as well as crying.
All right, yeah, that would be hard because it's like, I guess you were still hyped up from the race and like running alongside people, and you're probably ignoring the fact that you'd, had to step off your own race. And then I guess that 5Ks, you're probably like, actually, probably hit you that is the reality for you in that race, which, yeah, can imagine would be hard. But also, what's a Zupa Dupa?
As Zupa Dupa is at a very iconic Australian like ice block, kind of those like fruity ice blocks that you get when you're a kid, and I had them on course for the runners, which honestly it saved me because at 45Ks I was like tired, angry, fatigued, and extremely thirsty and hot, and so that was like a lifesaver. But yeah, on that 5K walk, I also didn't have my phone, so I don't run race with my phone, and so I like didn't really know where I was going, didn't really know where the cheer zone was, and had no form of contact to anybody. And I knew that like you and mum would be at home like watching me, probably worrying about me, and I had no form of contact. So it was kind of funny, but Yeah, that's running for you at times. It doesn't go to plan, and you have to pivot and just figure out a way to get through it both mentally and physically. And yeah, anyway, I had a great time. I got to the FemiShare Chair Zone and got to see the community who had raced and had their medals and were so excited. So many of them ran PBs, and that shit lights me up more than anything. So shout out to the community who shared their stories with me, because that really got me through on the day when I was like not mentally in a great place. So thank you. Much love. But that's enough of me and Sydney Marathon. We have, yeah, way more important conversations to have and stories to share. Yes, I know you are willing to share what you've been going through over the last wee while, and it's been fucking hard for everybody involved, but the most of all for you. And I can't even imagine, yeah, what you have been going through over the last wee while. And I'm sure the community are here to support you. And so, yeah, I mean, I can throw it over to you to share what has been happening for you, but I just want to say you are the strongest person I have ever met. What you've been through and like how you've held yourself over the last wee while is just so inspiring, and I'm so proud of you as your best friend to like think about what you've gone through and how you've been able to manage it is, yeah, you're amazing.
Thanks. You start me off crying already.
Gonna be an emotional episode.
Yeah. Sorry if there's some noise as well. Someone literally started doing some work next door as we start this. But yeah, no, thanks. That's so nice. Oh, so I'll just go back to the start and then I can just tell you like where we're at now. But like I kind of shared some stuff on my Instagrams along the way, and some of you already know like the outcome and stuff, but yeah, like I don't know, it was probably about maybe 12 weeks ago now where I started to get like this really intense pain in my like lower abdomen, and it was primarily on the left side. And I was like thinking that it was to do with me seeing a naturopath and changing my diet and taking all these like natural supplements and stuff. And yeah, because I've been very hypervigilant about my health since my partner got sick, and I have had pelvic ultrasounds and other ultrasounds like not that long ago, you know, within the last like 2 to 3 years. And so I'm thinking it's something that my gut's going through kind of thing, because I'm like, okay, well, it's not something sinister, because like feel confident that I've had other things checked out kind of thing. So that's where my mind was at. But then it kind of kept going on, and it was so painful, like Panadol didn't help, and like it would keep me up at night, and like took Tramadol, you know, like stuff that's actually quite intense pain relief. But yeah, so that was kind of happening. And then I started to get like UTI kind of symptoms. Like when I got my period, I had like quite severe pain. When I was urinating and that sort of thing. And then I thought it was a UTI. So during my period, it was quite severe, and then it went away, and then it sort of came back around ovulation. So I was like, okay, like maybe it's like a UTI, and I kind of fought it off, but it's come back kind of thing. So I went to the doctor and talked to him, and thank the universe for that man. But anyway, he listened to me, and he said he wanted me to get an ultrasound just in case. And then I got some antibiotics for the UTI, which they didn't test me for a UTI, which I'm pissed off about, because I think that would have helped with the puzzle. They just kind of assumed it was and then gave me antibiotics. And because it had been going on for quite a while, I was like, I should take them because I'm scared that, you know, it could get worse and, you know, go to my kidneys and stuff. So I did. And lo and behold, it did get slightly better, which I still don't think it was a UTI. I'll worry, you know, never know, but I think it was more around my hormones. And so, you know, when you get your cycle, when you get your period, it swells, like your uterus swells. And so it would be pushing on what was happening. And then ovulation again, you know, things are swelling and I had more pain. So it makes sense. That as ovulation went away, which coincided with me taking the antibiotics, it kind of went down a bit. And so I thought I was in the clear and it was all better. And that was actually while we were filming strength training, which has just gone live, which is so exciting. But yeah, it was still, I was still like peeing very frequently and like felt a bit strange and a bit sore. And so I was a little bit worried. And through this whole thing, my ultrasound had been booked for the Tuesday and I was in Christchurch on the Sunday. So flew back and then went and got the ultrasound on the Tuesday, which was fully funded. Like, my doctor's such a legend. Because I don't know, if it had been like $250, maybe I would have put it off for a week or two. Or like, you know, like, I just feel so lucky that everything worked out.
Well, you were like not even going to get the ultrasound at one point, hey?
Yeah, I was thinking about not getting it because I thought the UTI kind of like the pain had gone away a bit, but then I was like, there's still a little bit of stuff going on, like I should probably just go just in case. I genuinely thought nothing was wrong. And so, like, those who have listened know that I've had like health anxiety in the past. I was in such a good place. It's pretty funny and quite ironic. But like I went and had the ultrasound. I didn't even ask her. Like, normally old me would be like, does it look all good? Like, we all good here kind of thing. I didn't even ask her because I was like, yeah, it's all, like, I felt like it was all good. And then anyway, I got a call the next morning from my doctor asking me to come in that day. And I got quite nervous from that. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, they kind of normally only ask you to come in if there's something going on. And then, yeah, I asked Byron to come with me, my partner, which I'm so glad I did, because, yeah, they just said that they found, like, he found, like, an 11, they found an 11-centimetre, like, mass on my left ovary. The reason I say mass is because my sister's a radiologist, and she said that it's not a cyst. So, like, a cyst is full of fluid and looks different on a scan, whereas mine was, like, quite, I think they call it complex. So there was a lot of things going on inside it. And yeah, from there, I just, it was a whirlwind really. Like I found out what ORADS 5 means, which I didn't know what that was, but like that was what the MRI, the ultrasound was graded. And that's like really high risk of malignancy kind of thing. So Gracie was trying to, my sister Gracie has been incredible throughout this whole thing. She was explaining to me these things and, you know, trying to keep me calm. I straight away went into action mode, which is very me. And like my family also went into action mode and we got a referral straight away to get a CT. So I had the CT the following day. And that showed, yeah, that it hadn't, if it was malignant, it hadn't spread anywhere. So that was like huge relief. The whole night I barely slept because I was like, what the hell? Like, how has this happened? Like, is it, have I got cancer? Is it all through my body? Like, is this the end kind of thing? It's pretty hard in those moments to like calm your mind when you don't know much. And so, you know, you only know that it's something scary. So that was really hard. And then, sorry.
I agree. It would be so scary for anybody.
And I was like looking up. looking up like how can you use your mind to like beat these sort of things, and so I was reading all these articles about like willpower and strength and like all of this. So yeah, I definitely went down a rabbit hole that night, but like I'm very proud of myself to say that like since then I've barely looked online at anything, which is something that I used to do and I will never do again because it's just so bad. Don't do it. It like makes you scared. So I'm proud of that. But anyway, from there it was like again another whirlwind. So I was like seen by a gynae. She initially said, because I had blood tests done as well, and like all my blood tests were elevated, but they weren't elevated. And she, so there's this this scale, I can't remember what it's called, but essentially if you score over 200, you're like urgently seen, and mine scored 168. So like she was like, oh well, we think it's a dermoid, like a benign dermoid, you probably won't get surgery for 3 months. And My sister was on the call and she was like, no, like tell her you think you're worried it's a malignant germ cell tumor, all these things. Like, so I did. And yeah, it was a bit of a weird call, to be fair. Like, I didn't feel reassured by it and made me feel more scared because 3 months I was thinking this thing has grown fast based on my previous ultrasounds. Like, my bloods are all elevated. I don't feel safe with a 3 month wait. And so we were going to go private, which, like, I'm so privileged that my mum and dad would have helped me to do that if that was the case. But anyway, so from there, I felt even worse after that conversation. And so she sent my information to it's called the MDM in Auckland, and then they essentially, it's a bunch of gynecological experts, and then they came together and they said, no, she needs to be seen urgently, like she needs to get this thing out urgently. So I was then told, this was the hardest part, was the changing scenarios and like my expectations being, I guess, yeah, my expectations being thrown up and down by the conversations I was having. So initially I was told it would be a 3 month wait, that I'd have to go private, and then I was called saying, actually we'll be doing the surgery in 3 days' time. And I was so relieved. I was like, holy crap, that's like incredible. And then I was told, actually it'll be in 7 days' time. And then I was called and told, actually it's in 10 days' time. So yeah, once it was locked in 10 days' time, I was like just getting through each day. I had like a countdown written on the wall. I was like crossing off the days. And like, yeah, that was really hard. The 10 days was really hard, but like also so fast in the public system. So I'm so grateful that like I was seen that fast. So like in total, from finding it to getting it removed, it was 3 weeks, which is pretty amazing. So that's kind of the journey to surgery.
I just can't believe that you had to go through all of that. Like, not only are you battling something like sinister, you're also like having mentally to deal with all of that, like up and down, and like mental health stuff as well, of just like trying to accept what's going on, or at least try to understand like what's going on. I just can't. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't managed that well. And I was also sent an email in the process where the email said I wasn't meant to be included in the email chain, but they left me in the email chain. And it was like 33-year-old female, most likely has ovarian cancer. And like when I read that, I just started bawling because I was like, okay, like this lady told me it's probably a benign dermoid, but now they've changed their tune and they're saying this. And so, yeah, it was
They're
really.
just like saying that behind your back, and then telling you something different.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I don't know, it was just like, I know that I'm not mad at anyone or like think they did a bad job. I know that everyone's probably under so much pressure in those roles and stuff, but yeah, it was hard like to be thrown around and being included in things like that. And then yeah, surgery came. Fuck, I was so excited. I like get this thing out of me. And so yeah, because I was also in a lot of pain. I was taking pain relief almost every day. Every time I went to the loo, it hurt and stuff. So I was like very ready to get it out. It was meant to be laparoscopic, but while they were in the surgery, it was too big. So they'd measured it as like between 10.5 and 11.5 centimeters, and then in surgery it was actually 15, so it had grown. And so they tried to do it laparoscopically, but they couldn't. It was just too big, so they did a laparotomy. So big open surgery. And then yeah, so mum, dad, and Byron were like really worried because I was meant to be in surgery for like an hour and a half, but it ended up being like 3.5 hours. So they were getting worried and stuff, but it all went real well. No spillage or anything like that, which is like obviously you do not want that in that situation. So like I'm just so grateful that they chose to go laparotomy and like do it really safely and stuff. It's a longer recovery, but whatever, doesn't mean anything really. And so yeah, went through that, and then I was in hospital for like 5 days, or 4 or 5 days, and yeah, that was painful, but all good. Like, it's like, yeah, I just felt happy to be on the other side. I was on morphine, which do not ever want to go on morphine again. I was telling Lydia, I was like seeing like weird faces when I would close my eyes and like like hallucinating kind of thing. So yeah, definitely didn't like that. But yeah, came home. They kind of told me it would be a 1 to 2 week wait to hear from the lab. So they sent it all off to be tested. They did washings and stuff of my abdomen. So they took like fluid, saline, wash it around, and then take that away and test the fluid for any cancer cells. And then they also did the same for the actual mass, tested that. It ended up taking them nearly 3 weeks to contact me, which again was really stressful because like every day after a week, I was like, it'll be today, it'll be today. And then it wouldn't be that day. But yeah, so ended up getting called on Tuesday. And then, yeah, the initial, yeah, the conversation was hard. Like, it is cancer, so it's, yeah. I guess I was like pretty prepared for that to be the case from like being part of those emails and like talking to my sister and stuff. And yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah, I was prepared, but it's obviously still like a massive blow. I would have loved it to have not been and for it to have been benign. But yeah, so as it stands, it's like quite a fast growing one that more young women get. And it's, I was talking to my sister, and it sounds weird when you hear of an aggressive cancer because it sounds scary. But she actually said it's a better one to get because it responds real well to chemo if I was to ever have to get that. And so she, they've sent it all to Auckland, the expert team again, and they're deciding at the moment what to do next. So like, because they found it so early, I might not have to do chemo, which would be great. Definitely would prefer not to do that. I know how hard it is on the body and like how much that would take out of me. So fingers crossed I don't have to, but whatever they recommend, I'll do it because, you know, I want to get rid of this thing fully, and like I believe that it's gone. And the doctor was saying similar, the surgeon, like he thinks they got rid of it, and like the testing showed it wasn't anywhere else and stuff. So hopefully that's like the end of it, you know, and I don't have to do anything further. So yeah, been like really intense. I'll hear more in like a week or two about further treatment and stuff, but hopefully it's just like surveillance ongoing, so just like keeping track of symptoms like blood tests and scans and stuff. But yeah, like just crazy. Like, I just can't even really believe that it's happened. I was telling someone yesterday about it and I was laughing just because, like, I don't know, it's like I'm still processing it, I think. Overall, my overall feeling is like gratitude, you know, because if my doctor hadn't got me the ultrasound,
I can't believe that is, yeah.
I just feel so grateful. Like, I know so many, I have people that I've known that have passed away, you know, at young ages, and like found it really late and had to have like just life-changing treatment and stuff. And I just like I'm so grateful that it was found early. And I'm on the other side of surgery, and they moved quickly because, like, initially I was like, when they were saying 3 months, I was like, that does not feel right. Like, that feels wrong. And so, yeah, I'm just like so grateful. Like, you can always find silver linings in terms of a situation. Yeah, it could be so much worse. And like, I'm just happy that I am. Of all the cancers you could possibly get, it's like a very treatable one, and like it's early stage and stuff. So, yeah.
I just like can't even believe we're having this conversation. Like it honestly feels surreal that we're even talking about this and that you've had to go through this. And it just shows that like cancer doesn't discriminate, you know, like you're one of the healthiest, fittest, best diet, like you do everything right, you know, and it still hits people like yourself, and it's just so fucking unfair. And I think the way that you have been able to carry yourself, and the fact that you can sit here and just say that you're grateful, is just, you're so strong. I feel like so many people would just be like, this is so unfair. Like, why me? Why has this happened to me? You know, and it's so fair to say those things. Like, I think anybody in that situation can feel like that, and rightly so. But the fact that you can just sit here and say that you're grateful is just like, honestly, yes, I don't know how the fuck you do it. You're
I just
so
think,
incredibly strong.
yeah, I feel like maybe like what happened to Byron and stuff has changed my perspective. Like, for those that don't know, he like nearly passed away, my partner, like maybe two, yeah, it's nearly 3 years ago now. But like that kind of changed my perspective on like, yeah, anything can happen to anyone. And like, it's not like a why me situation. It's just like, okay, this is what's happened. Like, what's the best we can make of it? 'Cause like, yeah, it doesn't discriminate, and like anything could happen at any time to anyone. And I'm one of the lucky ones, you know. I was walking around, which I don't think they should have this, by the way, in the ward, the gynecology ward. It was like every year, 1,000 women in New Zealand are diagnosed with gynecological cancers, and 453 of them pass away. And I was like, why is this up here, first of all? So many of us probably have that or are going through that scenario, and you're telling us how many of us die. Like, great. I think I should tell them that they should change that. I should talk about how many of them survive, you know, like over half of them survive. That's amazing. But like, also, you know, like that. So many of them don't, and so many of those women don't get the chance that I have, you know. So I just, yeah, I honestly feel so lucky. I'm obviously still nervous. Like, I do feel, you know, I'm probably going to be hypervigilant for a while. And like, yeah, I do believe, like, I pray and believe that it's not going to come back. But I'm going to be monitored by like best of the best, and I'll be, you know, really checking in with myself along the way. And yeah, hopefully it just never comes back. But yeah, just shows me as well, like, you got to listen to your body, because like when I look back at the past 6 months, I have had more signs that things were wrong. Like, I was feeling more full when I was eating food, and I felt like I couldn't eat as much. Like, I felt pretty bloated. And then the pain came. So like, ovarian stuff is scary because it's very silent, but listen to your body. If it's a nagging thing that's happened, you know, if you're feeling bloated for more than 2 weeks than normal, like, go and tell your doctor. And if your doctor doesn't listen, go to another doctor. Like, I was so lucky that my doctor is someone that I know, and he's like a friend. So I think he went, you know, he was really listening to me and stuff. He's a great doctor too. But yeah. Just like, listen to your body, and push, go somewhere else if they're not listening to you. Like, just keep going and keep asking for more treatment. And like, if you're really worried, like, I know I was privileged because my parents paid for my CT scan, which is expensive, because we wanted to go faster than if we went public. But yeah, like, even just borrow money, or like ask, like, anything to get a scan earlier if you're really worried and your doctor's like, I don't know, not getting you one that's fully funded and stuff. I feel like, yeah, there's ways around it. You just gotta push if you're worried.
Yeah, like if this isn't your sign to go and get checkups, and if there's things that you're not sure about, go and get it looked at. Like, I don't know what would be, because the fact that you were onto it and like aware of your body and knew things were happening, like it's probably saved your life, you know, which is amazing. And then getting the right people like your doctor and your sister to be able to advocate for you is really powerful. And we hear stories all the time from women who go to get medical support and don't get heard or seen. And yeah, and that stuff like just breaks my heart. So you just got to keep fighting for the finding the right people. Yeah, it's just crazy. Like I think back to if you go and listen to our podcast episodes from like the last few months or earlier in the year, and you like were running so much, like you were building your running up so well and stuff, you know, and like you were so fit and people would have just seen you as health and like there's nothing going, you know, nothing going on. You just had no idea. That's the stuff that's so hidden. Which is also very scary. But I mean, it shows what of a beast you are because you can push through pain and you are someone who will just like get the job done no matter what, you know?
I know. I was like, it's crazy. Like, that's the thing about like cancer. Like, there's early signs sometimes, but some people don't even get that, and like they don't really get much symptoms, and then something happens and they find it or something. But like, another reason that I'm grateful is that it grew so big. You know, my body was able to hold it in one place and like hold it together for me and like tell me, you know, like, something's going on here, like go get it checked out, kind of thing. Like, yeah, I feel really grateful that mine was a very loud one, and it was like you couldn't really have ignored it, which is very lucky, because I know some other scenarios where you might not know for a while. So yeah, I feel really lucky about that. But I mean, with my running, like, it's been so up and down for me for like so many years, you know. Like, I was looking back, it was like 4 years ago I got long COVID. And then got back to relatively good fitness, and then got COVID again, and then got back to relatively good fitness, and then my Achilles. So I took, you know, so much time off for that, 3 months off, and then now this, it's going to be like 4 months of no running, essentially. So yeah, it's been a battle, but I'll just be excited to get back out there and like get running again. I believe I can get back to fitness again and like, yeah, feel really strong and feel good in my body. And I'll be super grateful for it because, yeah, it's been a battle over the last 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely have been on a journey over the last little while, hey, with your running. But, you know, the fact that you have been able to just kind of keep getting back up and getting on the horse and like just keep building yourself back up just shows how strong you are. And at the end of the day, like, all we should strive for, well, the most important thing we should strive for is the ability to get up and get out. You know, like, it doesn't matter if you're like smashing PBs or running certain times. At the end of the day, just being able to like put one foot in front of the other and enjoy the outdoors and like enjoy moving your body is the most important thing. So I know you'll get back there. Just be patient with yourself and give yourself the time that your body and mind deserve to like build back slowly, you know. But just going back on the cancers that are silent, like I think after watching Dad and everything he went through, like as soon as you told me where you were at and the results from the initial scan, all I could think about was like what Dad went through, you know, and I was like, fuck, if like East has to go through anything near what Dad went through, I just can't even imagine that for you, you know? And so for Dad, he had melanoma, but his was pretty silent until it wasn't. Like they found the first kind of sign that he had cancer was when they found it in his brain, where he had a tumor in his brain because it had metastasized from melanoma through his lungs and into his brain. And by that point, really, like, yes, he had 4 years from then, which was incredible, but it really, we all kind of knew that it was going to eventually be the end for him. So yeah, when I heard your news, that was all that was going through my head, and I was just, I cannot believe that that is even like remotely true or going to happen, you know. But yeah, I'm so glad that there were all these signs and that you were like on top of your ability to action things at work is impressive, and I am glad that you carried that through to your health as well, and just like was able to get the support you needed as soon as possible.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, I know. When I think about like what your dad went through and then people that find it at later stages and stuff. Honestly, like I was so relieved when I had that scan come back, and I just can't imagine the feelings that they would have had with their reality. So, yeah, my heart goes out to people that find it later on, and I just can't imagine that feeling versus like the relief that I felt. So, yeah, I just, it fucking sucks. It's honestly like parasite, and I hate cancer so much. Cancer's a bitch. But yeah, you're right. Like, I feel so, like, it sounds real weird, but like, I'm grateful for my prior health anxiety because, yeah, I had an ultrasound, a pelvic ultrasound, like 2.5 years ago because I was having some pain and they wanted to check where my IUD was and it was low. So I got it removed. So there was that, which helped get me seen quicker. And then I had pain in my upper abdomen and my doctor was worried about like gallstones. So we did an upper abdomen ultrasound like a year and a half before this. So if I hadn't done those two scans and then got told by the gynae that they think it's a dermoid and I didn't have the other two to back me up, who knows? I don't know. I probably still would have gone private because it was a question mark. It was a gray area. But like that really helped. I think the Auckland team speed me up. So yeah, it's a blessing that that all happened in a way, because it did help me go faster and get it out quicker. So yeah, pretty lucky.
So true, everything in some weird, fucked up ways, everything does happen for a reason or the way that it's meant to happen, but yeah, let's just like obviously have everything crossed and praying that this is the end for you for that, like you don't have to go through any further treatment, it's all done, it's out of you, and you can just like get back on with things and stay out of hospitals. You and Five had too much time in hospitals recently, so we need to get you out of there. But I know that the whole community will be behind you, praying for the same thing, and just worrying about you and making sure that you're okay.
That's so nice. Yeah, I appreciate everyone's support and like, I don't know, this lady, it's called the Raglan Flower Co. I just keep getting her. She's probably come here like six times now. And I was like, oh, everyone's so nice. Like, I got some more flowers yesterday. I started bawling. I was like, this is crazy. Like, the support and stuff from everyone has been so nice. And yeah, it makes me want to just be there for everyone else as well, even more. Like, it's just
Stop it, yes. Everyone needs to be there for you. I can't believe you're even saying this stuff. You're just such a sweetheart. You care so much about everyone else, but this is the time for you to be there for yourself, you know?
yeah, that's true. But I just like, I just feel so like supported and loved and stuff. So yeah,
Good.
just real grateful to everyone and like feel lucky to have so many people behind me.
Oh, well, we're lucky to have you. The community loves you, and yeah. I'm just so glad that you're doing okay.
Thanks, Boo. And thank you, Liz, for all your support. Like, yeah, you've been my shoulder to cry on and my go-to. When I rolled my ankle a week after finding it, when I was trying to run 5Ks a day, Liz was getting some very angry texts. Not angry at her, angry at what happened. Like, are you kidding me right now? Like, why have I fucking rolled my ankle after this? Like, anyway, Liz's been
I
amazing.
think like you've been way stronger than me through this whole thing. And I'm like, you're the one having to deal with this, and I feel like I'm the one that's like crying every day, and you're like, I'm okay. I'm okay. I need to pick myself up.
I
Yeah,
love it.
it's a wild time. Life is crazy. Life is precious. Be grateful for it. If you pull out of a marathon, who really cares? It's only running, and life is just, there's so much more to it, so I'm just so proud of you. You're so amazing, and yeah, we're gonna be sending you all the positive healing vibes from here on out, and just know that you're gonna be good.
Thanks, Lids. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this episode. But before we go, I do want to mention, as Est did mention earlier in the episode, we have launched Femi Strength Training in the app, which has been a massive project that has happened over the last few months. With everything else going on, we've been chipping away at bringing strength training to you as well. So if you haven't updated your app, please go do that. If you haven't downloaded Femi, definitely go do that. Check out the strength training. It aligns to both your goals, your ability, and we give cycle guidance as well. So please go check it out. Let us know what you think. We're super excited for you to start strength training alongside your running and just get that consistency that we're all looking for. So we're stoked to have that out there. But yes, in the meantime, if you have any other questions, thoughts, opinions, and you want to share them with us, you can get at us on Instagram at femi.co. But thank you to everybody for your support for both Est and I over the last couple of weeks or months. We love you all and we can't wait to be back in your ears next week.
Thanks, everybody.